Our Father, we come this morning again. I trust that we are a thankful, a grateful people, a blessed people, blessed in Christ. Thank you, O Father. Thank you, Jesus, that He came. So difficult, even for those of us, O Lord, who have some knowledge and some vision of the glory that is in Christ. But it's still so hard for us to truly visualize what it must have taken for Him to humble Himself and come down to dwell among men, and then, O Lord, to experience, to submit Himself unto the hatred and the cruelty and the mockery that preceded that awful, awful death upon the cross, and then that most awful of all things, when He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" Help us today to rejoice in Christ with a true spirit of worship, giving blessing and honor and glory and praise to Him. We thank You again that You have chosen us as You chose so many down through the ages, and as You chose those that You have given to us for examples in the Scripture, that we might know something of Thee through Your Word and through experience as the Holy Ghost directs our lives and directs our thoughts, directs our footsteps. And even as You correct us, all of these things are designed that we might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, without a sin. We thank You today. Ask Your blessings upon our services here. Remembering also those that are not among us today. You know the reasons why, and Lord, we just commend all of them into Your gracious and merciful care. Bless, though, and we shall be blessed. Love to think of it. Save us, and we shall be saved. And heal us, and we shall be healed. You can do nothing, not only that it's not right, but you can only do that which is right. And you can do nothing that is not brought to perfection. So we are praying and trusting and rejoicing in the news that Christ has come. And He has cried, "It is finished." And He is satisfied and shall be satisfied in bringing all of Your people to that perfect knowledge that is in Christ Jesus. Be conformed to His image, Lord, just to be made like Him. Thank You. In His name, amen. All right, let's see if you'll come this morning.
Go back this morning, the 5th chapter of the book of Micah. We come here last week, but looked at it in one light last week. I'd like to look at it in a little different light this week. Several weeks ago when I come here with thinking about these things, I went off on two different tangents then. I believe either way I won't do the scripture any injustice. I'd like to look at it a little different today. I think it does speak of our Lord coming to this earth to dwell among men for a time, but I think there's more here than that. In the third verse, he said, therefore, will he give them up? He's talking about the people of Israel. I'm not going to deal with them anymore. Don't give them up until the time that she should, which travaileth, hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And I decided then, and I think it still, like I said, won't do it any scripture any harm. I like to be very careful that I don't cross over on something that it doesn't say. But I think here that it's talking about the coming forth of the true Israel also. Not altogether just the Lord, but the Lord and His people. The true Israel of God. They have been brought forth. Not all of them, just a remnant of them. And that's the way it is today, just a remnant. Always just a remnant. They were a very small people, he said, Israel. And that Israel is a pattern of the true Israel also. We need to be kind of careful of that also, though sometimes we might take that a little too far. Because the Lord deals with Israel, but He also deals differently with the Israel. That's inside of that old Israel. That's kind of, you know, kind of twisting, isn't it? But that's the way it is. Yeah. And that's the way it is today. The true church is in the midst of all the people of this world, wrapped up in it. But they were delivered. I think he's talking about here that they were delivered to worship God. They were brought forth, he said, that they might worship God. In the 10th chapter of the book of Isaiah, verse 20, he said, and it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. And he adds this little thing, in truth. The remnant shall return, even a remnant of Jacob. And when I first read this, I'm thinking, well, return from where? Or return to where? But that's not what he says. He gives us enough information here. We wasn't coming from anywhere. But they were going to unto the mighty God. That's where they're going to return to. And if man be in Christ, that's where he's going to return to. He's been away. So he's coming back. For though the though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet are the remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. I looked this word consumption up. I've toiled over it before. It means several things. But it also means a withering away. That's where they're going to come from, where they withered away to, back unto God. But then I look at it again, and it said the consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. This is one of the cases where I think he's talking about the Israel of God is coming forth. Always coming forth. It didn't just happen one time. But it's a coming forth always of God's people unto Him. And He's always working on them, chastising them, and bringing on things that causes them to come. And we'll see that a little more in a minute. He said, for the Lord God of hosts shall make a consumption, even determined in the midst of all the land. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwellest in Zion, particular people, be not afraid of the Assyrians. He shall smite thee with a rod, and shall lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. And for yet a little while, and until indignation shall cease, and mine anger in their destruction. Well, there's two things here that I think that this means also. One is that he's fixing to destroy that which is against him, and that he's going to save that which he has saved. And he's coming with a rod, not to bring total destruction, but to save some. He's going to whip them just enough. But some, it's not going to be just a whipping. It's this total destruction. Taken away. For yet a very little while, and the indignation shall cease, and mine anger in their destruction. Then he goes on, we could read on, but I don't think necessary. He's fixing to call out a people. And this is a people that's going to be delivered to worship their God when it's all said and done. On over in the 26th chapter. I guess in verse 12, he said, Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. He's going to beat them to death. But on some others, the same wrath over them is going to bring about a change of heart with them. And he said, thou hast increased the nation. O Lord, thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. That's when they come. They beat on, and they come running. Doesn't it sound like today? All of them want to have a prayer service. A vigil on the courthouse square. Have a prayer service. And that's what he's talking about here. Now, no meaning to this thing. It's just because the Lord is whipping on us. And things have come up on us. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain. And Christ out in their pain, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. Well, I'd like to be delivered. That's the reason they're going to have a prayer vigil. They just continue on, though, in the same old pain. It never gets better. It just goes, he whip them and whip them and whip them. And they get harder hearted all the time. They say, well, we'll call upon the Lord. Yeah. And we see little things everywhere today where that's what they're doing, but they're not calling upon him in the true sense of worship. It's get us out of this little spot. If you'll do this for us, Lord, we'll do something for you. We'll go into heaven and bring him down, and if necessary, we'll go down below and bring him up. If we have been with child, we've been in pain. The burden is just getting worse and worse. And we would love to be delivered of it. And we've been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth. All this stuff we're doing haven't done one foreign thing for them. No deliverance. Still in the same pain. He said, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. What we've done hadn't brought a thing down. They continue on exactly as they were. No change of heart. Then he said, thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise, awake, and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Well, be patient, people. Be patient. They are going to deliver. God is going to deliver. And get them. Not these people out of their pain, but he's going to deliver a people. They're going to be born and come into the earth. And then we bring back the book of John in the 16th chapter. We won't go there, but he gives a description of something just like this. pain is there, but finally deliverance from the pain. There'd be a remnant, though. There'd be deliverance. That's where I went when I went to Micah. I kept thinking about this verse is somehow seemed out of place. But no, it's the delivering of the people of God. God's going to do it. And they need some comfort and tell them to wait. The Lord is going to deliver the people and the pain will cease. The burden will be over. And we will be saved. In the book of Psalms, the 30th chapter, in verse 5, we could read the whole thing through. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. And that speaks to what we have just read. In his favor there's life. But if he be angry, but a little, yeah. He said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And that's what I'm thinking about this delivery. We sometimes go about ourselves moaning and groaning. We're so few. And it looks so hopeless sometimes. It looks like nothing's happening. It looks like, we're just doing no good. But then I think, yeah, but the Lord is at work. He promised he'd be at work. That was the promise. I'm going to save me a people, and I'm going to be their God, and they're going to be my people. And there's going to be springtime and harvest until then. So why do we fret? I'm not asking you, I'm asking myself sometime. Why do we fret? There is going to be deliverance. In his favor, his life. 105th Psalm. Now go to the 9th chapter of the book of Romans. I probably hadn't run over my time yet. I did last Sunday probably, but I kind of have trouble just delivering us. One of them quick little devotionals. Verse 28, and said, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. That consumption is going to overflow in righteousness. He's fixing to work on it and work on the people, and it's going to overflow in righteousness. And that's what he's saying here. For I'll finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. Because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and Gomorrah, and been made like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? Oh, it's another people. This is going to make up the whole thing. One church under God. I don't know. I can't understand why either. The scripture is so clear. There isn't any division there. Nothing is different than it was in the first day. The Lord's going to save him a people. That's the whole thing. But if he hadn't left us a seed, but you understand she is going to deliver. And when she does, it'd be joy. But what's been delivered? A people for the Lord. 105th Psalm. There again, we could read this whole thing. It all said, I guess, verse 40. The people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them. You understand, when we were first going there, in the 26th chapter, he's talking about bringing on the rod, and he says it's going to be like it was in Egypt. I'm going to bring them out. I'm going to deliver them with this rod. Now he's looking at the same thing. He said, I'm going to do it like I did over in Egypt. I'm going to bring them out. And he said, and the people asked, and he brought forth quail and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened a rock, and the waters gushed out, and they ran in dry places like a river, for he remembered his holy promise, and Abraham his servant. And he brought forth his people with joy. And it may last for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And his chosen with gladness, and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. So he has and is delivering his people. And when the deliverances happen, then there'll be joy in the morning. It's kind of like, you know, us men don't quite understand all that, but it's kind of like being really ill and things don't look so good. And then when you get feeling a little better, then it brings on joy. My goodness, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. Same way with the examples that we've looked at. That's what it is. You can imagine the weight. And what it's saying to us is, God's people, is be patient. The Lord is at work.
Interesting to note, sometimes, like in part of one of the readings JT just had there, talks about both Israel and Jacob. Well, Jacob was Israel. Israel was Jacob, but when he talks about those things, when he uses Jacob and Israel in the same verse like that, there's a pretty good indication there that he is talking about the old Israel, all right enough, in Jacob, but he's talking about the new, the spiritual Israel when he's talking about Israel. And that's something, again, that most people don't understand today, again, that Israel The spiritual Israel really encompassed everybody from Adam to the last man that's going to be saved. That is the church. And that's the that's what I consider when I think about the universal church. There's a lot of objection today to the term universal church, and I think it's because of Catholicism. They think that's what the Catholic means really is that universal body, but that's not what we're talking about when I'm talking about the universal church.
That's why that was the name of this program, Journey Home.
Back to Mother Church. But
and this rabbi that I was thinking of, he doesn't see anything but Israel.
Yeah.
Israel was, they wouldn't call it the church.
No. No, they don't. They wouldn't. But it's amazing as we look at this. JT didn't read the 20 and 21 verses of that 26th chapter of Isaiah, but this plays into it. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little season until the indignation be overpassed. That's what's happening to us right now. The truth is, that's what's happening to us right now. There's been a lot of times when there's been very few. In Elijah's day, he didn't think there was anybody but him, really. But God, of course, corrected him on that. But these last days, we don't know what's going to befall us, but we know that God is going to deliver. Yes. Except that we do know that it's going to be troublesome times. The last days shall be what? Perilous. A lot of argument, a lot of discussion about the book of Daniel and about what this means and that means and everything. And I'm the first one to say that I don't know what all of that, how to work it into historical settings and so forth. But I do know that it's spiritual. It's the Word of God, and it applies to God's people. And it certainly applies to us, but one of the things he tells us that, and this has to be in the last days, that 11th chapter of Daniel is, for the ships of Chittim shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved in return and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. Well, what is the holy covenant? Well, it's Christ. But you can't separate Christ and his church. You just can't do it. Going back to that 12th chapter of Revelation. There is a woman in the wilderness and she's persecuted, all right enough, that she's hidden, and then Satan goes to make war with the remnant that have the testimony of Jesus. An arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. And when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with what? A little help. But many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. What is God going to do? He's going to judge the world, and as J.T. read there in Romans 9, He's going to cut it short in righteousness. Sometimes, you see, we wonder, don't we, that, Lord, why are you letting all this go on? But you have to remember that with the Lord, a thousand years is as a day, and a day is a thousand years. But when He does act, it don't take very long, does it?